All right, how are you guys doing this morning? I'm excited. Let's welcome. We got a group coming on from Facebook. We're glad you guys are here. Let's welcome them in the house this morning, if you guys would. We're glad you guys are with us. Hope you guys enjoy. We're going to celebrate moms today. And hopefully, y'all know how I am, but hopefully we're going to get done soon today. How many of you want to get done early today and beat everybody to the restaurants? Some like, hey, get done early so you can go outside and buy flowers. That's what it's all about, huh? So listen, we're going to talk about moms today. We're going to honor moms. But before we do, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Father God. We thank you for today. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the ladies that you've put in our life to encourage us, to lift us up, to show us the directions we need to go, Father God, and help us to go those directions at some times, Father God. And I just ask that as we honor them today, that it be more than just with words or just with gifts that we've given, Father God, but with our hearts. And just as with your son, we celebrate him on Easter and Christmas, but we should celebrate him every day of the year, and it should be an important part of our lives, as should our mothers and fathers. And I ask that you would help us to remember that, Father God, throughout the whole year, not just to give them one day, but to honor them with everything we have, just the same way that we honor you. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We're supposed to give honor where honor is due. So the definition of honor, you guys ready for that? I'm going to start out with that. The definition of honor, according to the dictionary, is to regard or treat someone with admiration or respect, to regard or treat with honor, to give special recognition to, or to give honor to place honor on. How many of you know we're supposed to honor our mother and our father, right? Today we're going to talk about the moms, and as a nation today, everybody, the whole world comes together and says this is what we're going to do, and gives them a special day. But as I said a minute ago, man, we should do this every day, not just today. Amen? Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that your Lord your God is giving you. I mean, you know, that's the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. So when he gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the Ten Rules, as people like to say, the things that we're supposed to follow. How many of you know it's not about following those, it's about our heart towards him? Amen? So when I say that stuff, please put it in the right place. But one of the things that God tells us is that when we honor our mother, it gives us special benefits. How many of you like special benefits? It gives us a blessing. There's a lot of if-thens in the scripture, as we've talked about before. If we do this, then this will happen. If we do this, then this will happen, right? One of the things that we need to understand is that when we honor our mother, there's a blessing that comes in our life because of doing it. It's a promise that he gives. And what is the promise? It says it brings you long life. Deuteronomy 5:16, it says it again. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord has given you, that the Lord has given you. God gives us an amazing promise that when we give honor, when we bestow honor, that a blessing comes. Now, should we just give the honor for the blessing? No. Why? Because it's about our heart. It's about our heart. How many of you have ever had somebody do something for you and they did it only because they wanted something? How many of you parents, mothers, fathers, have had your kid climb up in your lap and sit there and say, Daddy, Mommy, I love you. Can I have this? Right? Like, because I gave you love, you're going to take care of me, right? How many of you feel completely different than when they come and they just love you just to love you? They come and they honor you just to honor you because it's what they want to do. There's a complete and total difference between those two. And God isn't telling us to make a ritual out of it, to make something that we have to do, or you have to do this, or you're not going to get a blessing. It's not what it's about. How many of you know every rule, every regulation, and we're going to talk about this in a minute too, but every rule, every law, everything that God placed in our life, he did for our benefit. How many of you know when you were growing up, You thought differently about what your mom and dad, how they treated you, than you do today, right? When you were a kid, right? And the rules and the regulations and the things were there. I'm like, you don't love me. You're making me do all this stuff. Everything they were making you do was for whose benefit? Yours. Not theirs. Not theirs. No. Wrong answer. Don't answer no more. There's no wrong answers except that one. That one's wrong. No. It's for your benefit. The same way that God gave us all the rules and regulations, all the things in the scripture that says, I want you to do this. It wasn't because he wanted to control us. It wasn't because if he wanted to control us, he wouldn't have given us free will. Amen? He would have written a script that you and I would be walking out in our lives. But that's not what happens. Right? He gives us opportunities. He gives us choices. And we're able to do these things. Ephesians 6:2, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, children, obey your parents. Now, you know, this is different from what it said before. How many of you know before it said honor your parents? Now it says obey your parents. Be like, well, wait a minute. Did he get it wrong? I don't believe so. And I'm going to tell you why. This is Toby talking, right? I'm not saying this saith the Lord. This is Toby talking. But when the new covenant came, what happened? It wasn't about just doing those things. Everything was taken a little bit further. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about doing those things. It's about what you have in your heart, what you do in your heart. This says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And you say, well, why did you read the same verse over and over? I didn't. It's told to us three different times in the scripture. Do you think it's important? I mean, if he says something over and over and over, repetition is the best teacher, first of all, right? How do you learn something? How did you learn your timetables as a kid? Some of you guys are just really smart. Some of us didn't learn them. There's that. But what did you do? You just sat down and you said them over and over and over. Said them over and over and over. Do you know one of the best ways to teach yourself something? Do you know why? Oh, I'm going to tell you this. This is a squirrel. Y'all ready? Let's catch it. Do you know why the children of Israel put his word to song? How many of you can remember words to songs that you sang when you was a kid and you haven't heard in whole bunch of years? I'm not going to say how many, but a cool bunch of years. But you can still remember the song. You can still remember the words. Music. When you put stuff to music, you can remember it. The children of God, and they didn't have the Bible to pass down, the word to pass down. They had the Torah. Certain people could read, certain people couldn't. What did they do? It was up to the mothers and the fathers to teach their children, to pass down from generation to generation to generation. And one of the best ways they did was to sing to them, to sing to them. Not only is it getting so that we have the word of God in our minds, but it gets in our heart. And how many of you know we hear it and then we sing it? How many of you have something get in your head and it just won't go away? It just won't go away. It just won't. Some of them are good. Some of them are baby sharkish and it's not a good thing, but some of them are great, right? Now, some of y'all are going to be singing that in your head all day. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. Next time I'll say something about Barney and it'll be better. Just kidding. Just got the rest of you. So anyway, we're going to talk about Mother's Day and why do we celebrate Mother's Day? Where did it come from? How many of you know sometimes getting to know why we do it is just as important as doing it, right? It came about, it was born in a small town, a small Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. So it was 1876. The nation was still mourning the Civil War and having some issues coping with those things. How many know war takes a little time to get over? That's why we need to be praying for the war that's happening right now. Amen. Miss Anna Reeves Jarvis thought of the mothers who had lost their sons. And Memorial Day. How many of you know that's what Memorial Day was all about, right? For the people that we lost. Mother's Day, she had a prayer in a Sunday school class. And she said, God, I wish there was a way to honor mothers and to comfort mothers and to talk about how amazing mothers are and to remember mothers the same way they do with Memorial Day. This prayer made a deep impression on one of her 11 children. Anna had seen her mother's efforts hold to a war-split community, to the church, to as she grew into an adult, the younger woman kept the dream of her mother in her heart. How many of you know when God came and he talked to Mary, what did he say she did? She pondered these things in her heart. This Anna, the young Anna, she just thought about this and prayed about it and kept remembering it and kept remembering it. And one day she was determined to honor and to establish a day to honor mothers. In May 12th, 1907, a local observance was held, and it was later spread to Philadelphia. So it started in 1907. By 1910, Mother's Day was celebrated in 45 states, Puerto Rico, and Hawaii, Canada, and Mexico, right? So Mrs. Jarvis was amazing, was amazed at how one little thing took over. How many of you know there's, you can have an idea, you can have something that was given to you by God, and you start sharing it, and what ends up happening? It ends up growing and growing and growing. That's how Christianity came about, right? People sharing it, people saying, man, that's amazing. I want to be a part of that. Let's do that. And that's how Mother's Day began. This is what she told her friends. She said, where will it end? Where it will end will be for the future to tell. That it will circle the globe seems certain. On May 8, 1914, President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day for displaying the American flag and for the public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of the country. So why are we honoring our mothers? Because they're amazing. So some of you guys might be, and so sometimes Mother's Day and Father's Day and certain days are very difficult for some people. Some people maybe have just lost their mother or their father, right? Some people may have grown up and not had a very good mother or father. How many of you know that happens too? Some of us are blessed in the fact that we had an amazing mother and an amazing father, right? And so when I come to talk about these things, I want to talk about two things. First of all, before I get into talking about what we're going to say, if you're how many of you do really, really good at some things? And other things you're not so good at. Do you know that some people are really, really good at being a parent? Some people are not. Do you know that if you gave every parent an opportunity to say, well, do you want to be a good parent? Do you want to do the best that you can for your kids? How many of you know every single one of them will say yes, regardless of how well they did, right? Some of us do amazing. Some of us don't. Some of us, no, let's don't go there. Some moms were amazing, some weren't. What I want you to understand is that forgiveness needs to come in our lives sometimes and be extended. I'm going to leave that one there. I'm going to go to the next one. What I want to talk about is some of the things that we see in a godly mother, right? And the scripture talks about godly mom, and there's going to be a ton of pastors today preach out of Proverbs 31 about for Mother's Day. That's one of the things that they do. How many of you know, when you start talking about Mother's Day, it's one of those same things that I said about Easter. When I come up and I start to preach about moms and Mother's Day, you guys have probably pretty much heard everything I'm going to bring to you. So me bringing it in a different way, but I want us to look at it maybe a little differently today, and hopefully that'll work. And I want us to see how a godly mother lines up with a Christ follower is what I want to do today. I want to show you some things that you see in a mom that points to Christ. First thing that you see is an unconditional love for her children. I mean, you know, moms have an unconditional love for their children. You know, the most horrible, heinous people, kids on the earth that grew up into monsters, do you know what their moms say about them? He's such a good boy. Jeffrey Dahmer's mom said, he's such a good boy. I mean, you know, he's not quite a good boy, right? When you think of the actions and the things that he did, right? But sometimes, man, a mom loves her kid regardless of what anybody else thinks about her kid. How many of you know all the time moms love their kids more than anybody else? Proverbs 4:3. I'm going to read the King James Version first because I like the way it says it better. But I'm going to read I'll read the other one first. It says, when I was a son with my father, tender only in the sight of my mother. King James Version says it like this, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Moms always love their kids, regardless of how much of a knucklehead we are. Amen? We see that being the same characteristic of Christ and of God, our Father, who loves us no matter how much of a knucklehead we are, who would give everything up for children the way that God gave Christ for the church. Amen? How many of you ever heard a phrase, you have a face only a mother could love? That explains the point. You guys know what I'm talking about. Everybody started laughing. So the next thing that we see about a mom is that she teaches her children She shares her with her children things. Again, not to be, you're going to listen to me, you're going to do whatever, but this is what the scripture says. And how many of you know this is a promise of God too? So I want you guys, moms, to hold on to it. I'm going to talk to moms in a minute and say something specifically to you guys. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. How many of you know your mom teaches you all kinds of stuff? You know, from the time that you are born, she starts pouring her life into you. And so before we go on to the rest of the stuff, I want to share some things that our moms have taught us, okay, over the years. And you guys see if you remember it. Our moms have taught us about foresight, looking into the future. You know how they did that? She said, make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're in an accident, right? We need to plan ahead. We need to prepare. They taught us about logic, too. It says, if you fall out of a tree and break your neck, don't come running to me. They taught us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. You better talk to God. They taught us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of the next week. Yeah, there we go. They taught us about genetics. You are just like your father. They taught us about contradictions. Shut up, shut your mouth, and eat your dinner. Like, I don't know how, you can't do both of them, Mom. They also taught us about being a contortionist. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Like, I don't know how to do that. Then they taught us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world. See, you guys already know that one, man. That's how it happens, man. Moms teach us all kind of principles in our lives. It's coming. The circle of life. One of the things that it tells us, man, is that our moms teach us and our fathers teach us things that will help us as we walk through our lives. Proverbs 6:20, verse 20 through 23, it says, my son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart and tie them around your neck. What is that saying? That's saying keep them and hold on to them and make them a part of who you are. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lay down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and the reproof of discipline are a way of life. So what does this scripture tell you? That the principles and the things that our mothers instilled into us and taught us and showed us continue to teach us, continue to lead us, continue to guide us, and are there for us all throughout our life if we hold on to them. How many of you know you can be taught something and not hold on to it and it have no effect in your life? Right? I use this one all the time. I know how to diet and how to exercise. I saw this thing the other day. It says I purchased a membership to the gym 6 months ago. Tomorrow I'm going there in person to see why it's not working out. Right? It doesn't do you any good to have it and not use it, the things that were taught to you. Do you know what? Sometimes we can learn good stuff and we can learn bad stuff. That's why it's so important, mothers and fathers and people that have people looking up to you, that you're teaching and training and leading, that you always walk a righteous life, best that you can, that you purpose in your heart to do those things. Like Daniel, when we read in the scripture, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. So when the time came to defile himself, what happened? He already was looking for it. He already said, no, this is how I'm going to do it. Do you know why your moms and dads teach you things, give you these principles? Do you know why they try to teach you not to take your sister or your brother's stuff that they have? Do you know why they try to teach you not to lie to other people? Do you know why they try to teach you these things when you're young? So that when you get old, you're not getting arrested because you're stealing and lying and cheating things, right? It's the small principle. It's the same principle taught at a small level. And the scripture says that when we hold on to those things and we start to walk in those things, they'll lead us in a right life. They'll lead us in the direction that we need to go. And when something comes up and a decision comes up and there's a fork in the road, well, do I go this way or do I go that way? The teaching that we were given by our mothers will shine the light on the direction we need to go, according to scripture. They talk to you. How many of you hear your mom's voice in the back of your head when you're about to do something dumb? Like, you better not do that. I'm like, yeah, yeah. It's scripture. It said it right here. It says, tie them, bind them to your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch after you. When you are awake, they will talk to you. You'll hear the words of your mother helping you to do what you're supposed to do. Thank you, moms. Thank you, moms. We are assuming here that the mother is a godly mother. That's what we started out at the beginning. But yes. Now, the next thing that our moms do is they correct and they discipline us. They correct and they discipline us. Why do they do that? Because they want to be mean. No, because they want us to make sure that we learn what we're supposed to learn so that we're the best that we can be. According to the scripture, the discipline is a good thing. How many of you thought it was a good thing when you was growing up? How many of you look back now and are appreciative for the discipline you received as a kid and are thankful for it? See, it's one of those situations that you can't, we were talking about this earlier, and it has nothing to do, well, kind of. How many of you know when you're in the middle of a situation you can't see? We were talking about how God weaves everything together, right? And while we're right there seeing the weave, we can't understand it. But when we step back and we see the whole tapestry, it makes sense. That's our lives. That's what happens. Do you know what our parents, our mothers are doing when they're pouring into us, when they're teaching us those things? They're weaving, helping to weave our life. And to teach us how to do it so that when the time comes and we're doing it on our own, we don't mess it all up. Now, some of us still decide to mess it up. But how many of you know God can repair anything? Another thing that we see in the scripture that a godly mother does is praise for her children. Praise for her children. Now, 1 Samuel, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, so we're going to skip over that a little bit. We're going to talk about how Hannah prayed to God to give her a son. Now, how many of you know moms want the best things for their kids, even if it's not really the right thing at times? We see that in Matthew 20, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. A mother of the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, James and John, came up with her sons, kneeling before Jesus. She asked him, and he said to her, he said, what do you want? She said, say that the two sons of mine can sit at the right hand, one at the right and one at your left when you come into the kingdom. I mean, that's not that. And Jesus rebukes her and says, hey, that's not something that you can ask. That's something for the father to place who sits where and what's going on. How many of you know that's what happens? God's the one who determines things. Let me squirrel on it a minute, but stay right there. Let me tell you, don't determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell and who has a relationship with God. It's none of your business. Sorry, I should have maybe said it softer. It's God's business. Let's let him deal with it. Let's just do what he's given us to do and shine light on him, so that people can see him and stop telling them how horrible and messed up they are. Well, I like one of the things, I think it was Muhammad said it. He said, instead of telling somebody how dirty their water is in their glass, why don't you show them a glass of clean water? And they're going to be like, man, I wish my water looked like that. How do I get my water to be like that? God, only God. How many of you know, we're supposed to show them, not tell them. She comes and she says, Jesus, this is what I want for my kids. I want the best for my kids. This is what I want to have happen. Even, again, as I said earlier, man, when we go back and we look, our mothers loved us, whether they were good mothers to us or whether they were not so great to us. We look at them and we can see now they did want what was best for us, even though they might not know how to show it or make it happen. We see here that a mother, a godly mother, will pray for her children. I know for a fact, there's a family that I know, and I'm just going to blast them out. I have a buddy that comes to Bible study on Wednesday night. His name's Matt Simmons. Me and Matt used to thick as thieves running back in the day. Remember I tell you I used to sit where Charles was drunk? Matt was the one I was hanging out with on Saturday nights, right? Friday, Saturday nights. His dad used to pray for us and tell us we get our lives right. We say, shut up, we don't want none of that. We're going out to do our stuff, right? But let me back up 20-something years. My father was preaching a service in Apopka for Myrtle Simmons, his mother. There was a whole group of the children that were there. And my father said this. He said, Myrtle's only prayer was that her children would come and be a part and go to church with her and that God would get a hold of them. She had like 11 kids, I think. Like, she had a bunch of kids. She's like, I want them all to come. I want them all to come. Do you know at that time not a single one of them was coming to church? And my dad preached a sermon and the message, and he said, you know what? He said, her only prayer was that her children would come to church with her. He said, it's a shame that this is the reason why you're here. Do you know at that point, some of the people, Charlie Simmons in particular, wanted to punch my father in the mouth for saying that. But do you know what? Charlie Simmons gave his life to Christ. Do you know who was trying to pour into my life and tell me you need to come to Christ? And the voice that I heard in the back of my head was Charlie Simmons. Let me encourage you in this, moms. Even though you don't see your prayers being answered, know that God answers prayers. Going back to the covenants we talked about, even though we don't see, Abraham never saw the nation came. He never saw the things, half the things God promised him in his covenant. He never saw them. But how many of you know they came to pass? If God said it, he's going to do it. We need to remember that. Another thing that we see is that a mother, I'm crying now, I can't even see my notes. Y'all, I hope I can remember something. Godly mother gives to her children, puts her kids first. Most of the mothers I know are the first ones up and the last ones in bed because they're taking care of their kids. They're working a job and then coming home, especially today, working a full-time job and then coming home, working a full-time family. Amen? Doing all these things, making sure that everyone, our kids, are taken care of before themselves. Do you know when I was a kid, I didn't know we didn't have any money. I didn't know preachers didn't make big salaries. Like, look, we got this big church. You know, look at the house that we live in. It's a nice house. Do you know when I go, when I go to the house I lived in Sleazy Heights in Apopka? It's called Breezy Heights, but somebody did it on the sign. They put an S and an L in front of it, made it Sleazy Heights, right? Do you know my house then? When I go there, I'm like, what is this neighborhood? But do you know what? My parents did everything they could, and they always made me feel like we had everything we needed. I didn't know. Why? Because they always made sure that I had. They would go without so that I would have and not know that I needed something. Men, that's what a godly mother does. We see all these characteristics, gives to her children, prays for her children, teaches her children, disciplines her children, has unconditional love for her children. And when we see that, we look at Jesus Christ. It's the same thing he does for us. You want to see a godly mother? Her life models the life of Jesus Christ and what he did in his ministry. His ministry was to the church. You know, moms, your number one ministry? To your family, to your husbands, to your children. Now, I'm not saying that they're, y'all, that's a whole other subject, but the two become one. Y'all are together in this. Amen? Not one over the other. Some people are going to be mad, but like, you shouldn't say that in front of my wife. I'm like, well, maybe I need to say that in front of you. The two become one, and taking care of your family should always be your first ministry. Always. Always. And let me tell you, this is my take on how it should go, right? You can have a different, you're a grown person. You can do what you want to do, right? God comes first always, then your spouse. Then your children. Be careful, don't put your children in front of your spouse. That's why you end up with relationships 20 years down the road where the father and mother divorce after the kids are gone because there's no common ground. I don't even know you anymore. Why? Because you focused on the kids and left your relationship alone. Don't do that. Okay? That's my marriage counseling for today. We'll move along. Then it comes your children. Then it comes your work, your job, and then it comes your ministry. It's like, well, why do you say that? Because the scripture says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. It says that a husband, a man, should provide for his family, right? If you're not taking care of your family and you're putting your family in front of, or your work in front of your family, you're not taking care of them. You might be providing for them, but you're not helping them to be raised and teaching them the things you need to teach. And be careful of the structure of how you put things. Amen? He said, well, you're just meddling. Okay, maybe. But I'm not trying to, so there's that. See my heart in it. I love what John says. He says, you can always question what I did, but don't ever question the heart behind why I do it. That's right? I'd said it a little differently than you did. It was a little, but you guys get what I'm saying, right? He was more eloquent with it, I'm sure. One of those things, man. We put God first, then our spouse, then our children, then our work, and then our ministry. But how many of you know you don't leave ministry off? God's called us to ministry. You know, your ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. He's given that to each and every one of us. So in the process of doing all of those things, the ministry to show people how good God is should be in your life always. Whether you do children's church or whether you play an instrument or whether you do anything else, it's hard to say these things because they're like a fine line between them. But you know what? Your family is more important than any ministry. Your ministry comes, but your ministry still needs to be there. Let me say that. Don't get rid of your ministry. Now I'm going to go to moms. I said I was going to be fast, but I changed. This is one of the things I want to say to moms, okay? I'm going to give you two ladies in the scripture. And this is what I want you to do, moms. It's important. There's two ladies in the scripture. One of them is in 1 Samuel, and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed that God would give her a son. She was barren. She didn't have any kids. She prayed and she said, God, if you give me this child, if you do this, I will present him back to you. I will give him back to you, right? Then we move on, and we see Moses and his mom. They're killing all of the baby boys. They're saying they have to be thrown into the Nile River. They're trying to wipe out God's people. It's another scheme. If you look all throughout history, there's been schemes to wipe out the children of God, the line of God, the line of Jesus that's coming, right? You see it in Israel, or you see it in Egypt right now. You see it on down the line when Jesus was being born. What did they do? They killed all the male children. Then they went on down. You come to the Jews where Holocaust and all that happened. You see God's people trying to be wiped out all throughout history, right? At this time, at this point, they're killing all the children, right? You say, well, why is this about Mother's Day? I'm going to get to it. It's okay. We're going to talk about moms. She had a decision to make. God, am I going to honor you with my child, or am I going to do what the government tells me I need to do? And I'm not trying to be political with this, so please don't go that way. But what I want to say is this. God has given you your children as your ministry to pour into them, to teach them, to show them by example, not by say, do as I say, not as I do. Okay? And one of the things that I want you to understand is this. Sometimes in their life, there comes a point where you have to let them go and allow God to do what only He can do in the situations. Okay? And I'm going to say that by this. She prayed. She said, God, give me a son. I want a son more than anything, but if you give him to me, I'll give him to you. And this is what ends up saying. She ends up saying this. When the child has come, she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am a woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped there with the Lord. She brought him back and dropped him, Samuel, at the temple and said, God, you've given me this child. I'm going to give him back to you. Do you know at the time when Moses' mother went down to the Nile River and put him in the basket and said, God, I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to put him in your hands. You take care of him. Amen? What happened? Y'all know the story? Pharaoh's daughter found him. Pharaoh's daughter brought him in. Pharaoh's daughter actually got him ready and prepared for the ministry that God was going to do with him to deliver his people. Right? Sometimes, moms, we don't see the plan that God has for our children. We don't understand it. Sometimes we need to put it in God's hand and say, God, I give you my children. I want to see you do something amazing with them. I give them to you, present them. That's why we dedicate babies, right? We do baby dedications. Why? To say, God, you've given me this child. I'm going to raise this child, but this is your child. I'm presenting them to you. Don't get discouraged, moms, if you don't see what you want to see right now. Just continue on in prayer. Continue on believing and trusting in God. Amen? And watch God do something different. Something amazing that you never saw coming. So, going back in my life, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. At 15, I ran away from God and I said, God, whatever you want to do with me, I don't care. I'm going to do the opposite. Tell me what you want to do and I'm going to do the opposite.
That's what I did for 10 years. For 10 years. Do you know my mom? I never stopped praying for me the whole time. She didn't understand how things could change. She didn't understand what was going on in my head, right? But she never gave up. Do you know she never imagined that I would be in this position? But do you know when my dad, when I would stumble in drunk and sit on the back row, my dad would say, I believe that God is building this place for you to pastor one day. I'm like, you're a stupid old man. It's so dumb. Oh, who was the dumb one? Right? Huh. Do you know my dad, and you can ask the elders, my dad didn't have anything to do with me coming here and being a part of this. They called me, and we didn't even tell my dad about it until we decided that this is what we were going to do. Why? Because I didn't want my dad to be in the decision. I didn't want my dad to know about it. I didn't want him to sway my decision one way or another, right? But God put something on his heart. He told him something. He and my mother prayed about it together, and guess what happened? They saw, many years later, the result of what God wanted to do in my life. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm a really great guy. Look at me. No. Because I serve a really great God who can use a messed up person. That's what I serve. And so, in saying that, mothers, to you, your child may be walking with God. They may be doing what you want them to do or what you think that they should be doing. How many of you know sometimes you think they should be doing something and that's not what they should be doing? Just know, God has a different plan. But pray about it. Give them to God. Continue to bring them to God and allow your eyes to be open to see what God's doing in their lives. Amen? So, with that, I want you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to think this thought. We're just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us now see your plan, that you would open our eyes, that you would allow us to honor our mothers, that you'd allow us to remember the things that they've taught us, that you'd allow us to walk in them. And Father God, I ask for the mothers that are in the house, that you would allow them to see what you're doing with their children, that you would allow them to see the progress that comes from only you, Father God. And I ask that you would allow them to never, never, never stop bringing them to you and believing you, Father God, and standing on your word. It says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they might not depart from it. I ask that you would help us to see those things. And I ask, God, that you would bring back our children that are walking other places, that are doing other things, Father God, that aren't looking towards you, whether we're a mother or a father, whatever it is, God, help us now. And maybe we weren't the best parents. Maybe we didn't do the best stuff. Maybe we messed up a bunch, Father God. I ask that you forgive us, and I ask that you'd allow our children to give us forgiveness. And I ask that you would show them the way that they need to walk and how to do things. And we give you all the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So now I am actually going to hand the service, this part of the service, over to Nick, who's going to come up. How many of you are wanting the mani-pedi? Put your hand up. I want to see it. How many of you want it? How many of you want the massage? How many want both? Okay, there we go. We got a bunch of people. Sid, will you grab the, where'd she go? I don't know. That's okay. Yeah, will you go out there and get the thing? She's supposed to be pulling out names so that she's a kid. There she comes. Come on. Hurry, hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You got it? There you go.
Good morning. Good morning. My name's Nick. If you don't know me, I'm one of the elders here. I was thinking about mothers this morning while I was sitting back there, and the women that have poured into my life, my mom, my wife's mother poured into my life, and many other women, and even women of the church. And I thought of the God-given gift that God has given to women, the mother's instinct, as we call it. I know it's been put into them, and even the same is true with the animal kingdom. Think about a bear cub. Here in Florida, we see these little bear cubs, and it comes up to you, and you're not really afraid of the bear. What are you afraid of? Where's the mother? You don't say, where's the father? Like, where's the mother? I'm afraid to touch this thing. Have you ever been walking down the sidewalk or standing somewhere and a bird's hitting you in the head? I don't know if it's true, but I think that's the mother. I think it's the mother protecting her little babies. The other thing is we live on a lake, and I get to watch wildlife quite a bit, and we see ducks. And with the little ones behind, the mother. I don't know where the father is. I don't know if it's a deadbeat duck. I don't know what he is, you know. But it's the mother. So really, thank you for the women in this church and the people in my life and the people in your lives that have had that mother instinct to take care of you. And as you watch them love and nurture and raise other children that may not even be theirs, that's a blessing. It's a huge blessing, a huge honor for a mother to pour into somebody's life, really. It's amazing. So anyway, so we're going to draw names. What we have here are the long card is for a layout, full-length massage, a deep massage by a woman named Joy Shepherd. She's good. I like that. The other card, the mani-pedi, I'm not there yet. It's just, I have guys telling me about the pedi thing, but I'm still not there. I still clip my own anyway. So, so if you want, go ahead, let's go ahead and pick a name. And the first one that gets a massage, Minnie Janet. Minnie. Miss Minnie. So what we'll do is we'll set this here. Or have somebody. Okay. Amen. Amen. And the next one for a massage. Yeah, shake it up. Pat Torrance. She gets a massage. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. A mani-pedi. So I guess you just stick them both out and get it done. Huh? Kendra Abner. Ah, hey. She's going to be looking good. Front row again. Christy Texter. Hallelujah. Hey. Didn't have to go far. And then the last one is both a mani-pedi and full-body massage. I think I said that right. Erica Madden. Wow. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Amen. All right. That's it.
Before we go out of here, I want to do one thing. All the ladies, as you go out the door, you say, well, I'm not a mom. Do you know what? As Nick said, there's some ladies that poured into his life in the place of a mother. We take care of all the ladies here. So as you go out the door, we've got our kids out there, and they're going to give you, they have a flower for you. They have a gift for you. And let's do this. Let's leave this place and glorify God and honor are the ladies, the mothers in our lives. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave, Father God, we ask that you see our hearts, see that we love you, Father God. See, help us honor the ladies that you've placed into our life to lead us, to guide us, to show us who you are, Father God. And I ask that you let us do a good job honoring them today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Happy Mother's Day.